Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, and he joins us every Thursday at 12 noon, and we appreciate that. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Listen, I wanted to start off by thanking you and the station for broadcasting our annual awards luncheon last week. I thought that, the fact that WWL covered it and you featured many of the awardees and speakers there helped maybe provide the community that couldn't attend that meeting with a better understanding of why we do this. And really, the first topic that I had scheduled to talk about was Louisiana State Police and the Attorney General's office. And the whole theme of that meeting last week was to emphasize to the attendees and your radio audience that the reductions in crime that we've been experiencing in this city are the result of no one agency, but the collaboration of all the agencies that were there and recognized by the Crime Commission. So yeah, people are aware that the Louisiana State Police created a new troop in New Orleans in January. It was announced in January. And they've been, I guess, on paper since January, and they've been gearing up. But they went from a zero presence in January to 18 troopers as we speak today. And during the first 10 months or so of their deployment here in the city, it's nothing short of remarkable what they have accomplished in a short period of time. So you've got 18 troopers, and occasionally some other troopers have been added to the equation for high-profile events and things like that. But essentially, we've got 18 troopers here. And during the first 10 months of this year, they've made 240 state arrests. 26% or 62 of those arrests were for violent felonies. 54 were for weapons felonies. 53 of those arrests were for drug felonies, including 39 drug distribution. So we're seeing only 9% of the arrests made by the Louisiana State Police were on misdemeanor charges, compared to about 36% of the arrests that are made by the New Orleans Police Department for misdemeanors. And the reason for that disparity is the fact that the state police are not responding to 911 calls. They're engaging in proactive policing. The NOPD is responding to 911 calls. So when the NOPD is receiving a call about a shoplifting or a theft, and they respond to it, they determine who the offender is, they're going to make the arrest. And so the state police are not responding to those calls for service, those 911 calls. That partially explains that. But the arrests that are made have to be prosecuted. And pursuant to the agreement in which the state police were deployed in this city, the district attorney's office and, you know, the police department and all the city officials came to a consensus agreement with the governor and with the attorney general, Liz Merle, that the state police arrests would be prosecuted by the attorney general's office. So as an arrest is made, a police report is generated and submitted to the prosecutors for what's called screening, to assess it, to determine if the arrest is sufficient enough to go forward with a prosecution, keeping in mind that when an officer makes an arrest, they're using the probable cause standard, or reasonable suspicion that a crime was committed. A prosecutor is going to review that arrest to determine if there's sufficient evidence to obtain a conviction and meet the burden of proof to convict, which is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So what the Attorney General's office, their stats, are critically important to assess the overall effectiveness of the state police arrests that are being made. And what we're seeing is that the Attorney General's office has screened already 87% of the cases in which the police, the troop NOLA, has made an arrest, and their acceptance rate is 87%. That is a testament to, A, the good work and the training and the discipline of the Louisiana State Police. So when they were created to come here, keep in mind that policing in an urban environment is very different than what troopers are trained to do. There's some similarities, but there are some differences as well. These troopers went through training to prepare them for transitioning from highway law enforcement to urban policing in the city. And what you're seeing with these statistics is that that training has been effective, because they have been, beyond my expectations, one of the most critical reasons why we continue to see a decline in crime citywide in New Orleans. So these 240 arrests that they've made, they've made them from people that live all over the city. And keep in mind, they're not responding to calls for service. They're doing proactive policing. They're doing traffic enforcement. They're doing narcotics enforcement. They're doing firearms enforcement. So they're relying on their training and using their resources to supplement what the New Orleans Police Department is doing. So this is a cooperative endeavor agreement between the two agencies. The state police just don't operate independently of the NOPD. They coordinate what they're going to be doing it and when they're going to do it with the NOPD. So there is no redundancy, where there is no lack of communication or coordination between the two agencies. These are partners. They're partner law enforcement agencies. And they are working very effectively to coordinate their resources to drive down crime, and the state police are primarily relying on proactive policing and precise policing. So what I'm talking about is they're not looking for quantities of arrests, they're looking for qualities of arrests. They're looking for, in deploying their assets, their troopers, in high crime areas around the city. So earlier this year, I was in late part of summer, early part of fall, told you that there were 55 days in the 7th District in which no homicides occurred. That's unheard of. And part of that streak was because what was the state police doing there? Traffic enforcement. Well, why does traffic enforcement make an impact on violent crime and homicides? Because you have a finite number of people that are involved in the crimes of violence in this community and every community. And the state police realized that some of the perpetrators of violence were driving certain types of vehicles. So they were doing traffic enforcement in the 7th District. One night, they made 41 traffic stops. And of the 41 traffic stops, they only issued 9 citations. The 32 other people that were pulled over for traffic violations. So once the state police determined that they were just minor traffic violations, they let them go with a warning. They didn't even issue a citation to them. But the 9 citations that were issued to 6 individuals that were arrested for felonies. There was 1 recovered stolen car. There were, as I pointed out, 6 felony arrests, some of which were individuals wanted for warrants. There were 6 firearms recovered, one of which was a stolen firearm, and a substantial quantity of drugs were recovered with those. So when you start to make those types of impacts in high crime areas like the 7th District, it is a game changer. And those are resources that the NOPD don't have because we're still battling an acute manpower crisis. And even though crime is down, we don't have enough officers to respond in a timely manner to all the calls for service. So the state police, by doing traffic enforcement in certain parts of town, by doing drug enforcement in certain parts of town, are taking some of the pressure off the NOPD so they, A, can get to calls for service quicker, and they can use their resources, and as crime continues to decline, the NOPD can devote more time to follow-up investigations that lead to higher solve rates, and as the cases are solved, the offenders are arrested, and they're held accountable for it. So this is, you know, an example. People want to know why crime is down. Well, it's down because of the cooperation and assistance that we're enjoying now between the Louisiana State Police and the Attorney General's office and their counterparts in New Orleans, the NOPD and the New Orleans District Attorney's office.
Rafi, let me thank you for the recognition. It's certainly this station's pleasure to assist. In every survey, crime is in the top three issues, so it's obviously top of mind for the citizens of New Orleans. And I've said this oftentimes, you're one of the few organizations that actually puts the time in to look at and analyze the data. And it's the only opportunity that the general public really gets to gain a better understanding of the data, and we certainly appreciate what you guys do each and every day. And it was an honor to talk about all the men and women in law enforcement and the work they do. And I think right now at this point in this conversation, it's important to reflect upon the crime stats. So homicides are down 40% right now through November 10th. Shootings are down 42%. Carjackings are down 40%. Armed robberies are down 33%. Auto theft down 50%. Vehicle burglaries down 49%. Business burglaries down 36%. Residential burglaries down 37%. And if you go to the website of at Metro Crime NOLA or metrocrime.org, it is org, right? Yes, metrocrime.org.
Yeah, O-R-G, right.
You can look at all of these stats, and they put it in easy-to-read fashion where bar graphs, and you can see going all the way back to 2019, which I love because you're looking at a six-year trend, and you can gain a better understanding, and you can look at it from district to district as well out there in the police districts. They've made it, they put a lot of work, folks, into doing this, and that's what I really appreciate about what you guys do.
Well, thank you. You know, and you know, I didn't cover this part, but you know, there has to be consequences for the individuals that are committing crime. And all of those stats that you just read out, we don't have individual offenders committing each one of those. You have a limited number of offenders that are involved in the homicides, the shootings, and all the property offenses and all the drug offenses. They're looking for opportunities, and today it may be drug distribution. Tomorrow could be a shooting. The day after that could be an automobile theft. So as you start to arrest those people, it's critically important that there be something more than just an arrest. So when someone is arrested, they're booked into the jail, and then their first appearance is in magistrate court. So when the state police make the arrest, the Attorney General's office responds to the first appearance. And that's where a public defender and a prosecutor present to the judge or commissioner circumstances that warrant either higher bail or lower bail. The defense offers mitigating circumstances. The prosecutor, in this case the assistant attorney general, advocates for higher bail based on the offender's criminal history and the danger that they pose to the community. So we assess the first appearance bond settings for all state aggravated battery and assault cases. So that means that some are made by the NOPD and some are made by the Louisiana State Police. And what we're seeing is that the aggravated battery assault arrests that are made, the Attorney General's office on average gets $115,000 per offender increase in bond over NOPD, NODA things. The difference in bail is $115,000 based on the evidence that's presented by the Attorney General's office at the first appearance. Domestic violence arrests are $40,000 higher for state police arrests than they are for NOPD arrests. Felony weapons offense bail is $11,000 higher than the NOPD arrest for that. Felony thefts are $5,000 higher, and drug distribution are $10,000 higher. Why is that? So part of the reason for that is that when the state police, a lot of what the state police are doing are based on either body cam or video cam or crime cameras. So when there is, the state police provides that evidence to the assistant attorney generals that are appearing in court for the bail hearings. And the assistant attorney generals are actually providing video evidence that can be presented to the judge in this. And there's one case that we actually staffed, the Crime Commission attended the first appearance. It was a guy by the name of Eric Banks. And he was wanted by the NOPD in May of 24 for a domestic violence case. And the police went to try and arrest him for pistol whipping his girlfriend, and he escaped in a stolen vehicle before the police could effectuate an arrest. May the 30th, the NOPD issued a warrant. On July 8th, Louisiana State Police encountered him on the street, attempted to pull his vehicle over, and he fled. The state police pursued. And the NOPD, because of the consent decree, cannot pursue for something like that, but the state police can. And the state police engaged in a pursuit in which he went 80 miles an hour down the street and in a stolen car. Then he got on the interstate and traveled contrary to traffic, in the opposite direction of traffic. The state police had to get ahead of him and have other troopers block off the traffic so they wouldn't be endangered by him fleeing, driving the wrong way on the interstate. He finally spun his car out after he left the interstate, and they effectuated the arrest. He appeared in court for his magistrate hearing, and before court, the assistant attorney generals provided the magistrate commissioner with a video footage of him driving against traffic on the interstate and the danger that he posed. And the judge, after viewing that videotape, told the prosecutors she didn't need to see anything else. That was enough. And she remanded him without bail because he posed a flight risk and a danger to the public. That's the kind of evidence that's being presented and accumulated by the state police and utilized by the assistant attorney generals. And that's part of the reason why you're starting to see the inmate population go up. So this is an individual that was the state police attempting to arrest a warrant that had been issued by the New Orleans Police Department. And you see that, you know, he was allegedly beating his pistol whipping his girlfriend. He escaped the police department. He didn't escape the state police. The judge properly took into consideration the danger that he posed to the community and determining that he wasn't even eligible for bail, based on the extreme danger and his flight risk, not from just the state police, but the NOPD as well. So that's a testament to the good work that's being done by all of those agencies that are responsible for holding these offenders accountable.
No doubt, and I love when they connect the dots. We got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Folks, stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, recently the NOPD Public Integrity Bureau released some reports in response to, I think, a number of public records requests that you've made of them about Officer Vappi's conduct in a couple of instances. Tell us about it.
Right. So in April of this year, the Crime Commission obtained a photograph of Officer Vappi dining on the balcony of Tableau with the mayor. That photograph was taken by an MCC source. That source has now been identified. Her name was Ann Bro. So Ann Bro resided in the Pontabla Apartments. She was a neighbor to the mayor when the mayor was living in the Pontabla Apartments. Ann Bro walked out on her balcony on Sunday, April the 7th, and saw Officer Vappi dining with the mayor. So keep in mind that the mayor's comings and goings from the Pontabla were the subject of an investigation in the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023, in which issues were raised and concerns were expressed about one member of the executive protection team of four officers. Only one member was allowed in the mayor's apartment. That was Officer Vappi. And that investigation resulted in his administrative reassignment. And the federal monitor reviewed the reports and concluded that the investigation didn't go far enough. But Officer Vappi was admonished for his personal relationship with the mayor and unprofessionalism. But he was reinstated back onto the mayor's executive protection team after that investigation was completed. And we thought that that was the end of it. Well, April the 7th, he was dining with the mayor. And that photograph was provided to the Crime Commission. We filed a complaint with the Internal Affairs or Public Integrity Bureau, and we publicized the picture in hopes that we might get additional information. Sure enough, a few weeks later, another photograph surfaced of Officer Vappi and Mayor Cantrell drinking wine at Doris Metropolitan in July of 22. So we have the Pontabla investigation that started in November of 2022, and that was completed, and then we had the photograph of the mayor and Vappi dining on Tableau, and then another photograph surfaced of them drinking wine together while all of these pictures are while Vappi is on duty with the police department. He's consuming alcohol. July the 28th of 2022, April the 7th of 2024. Those reports were finally completed and released to the public. And the police department, that investigation, concluded that there were no fewer than 13 sustained violations of NOPD rules by Officer Vappi, and that included him being sustained for violating the departmental policies with respect to professionalism, use of alcohol while on duty, neglect of duty by carrying a firearm while drinking, devoting his entire time to his duty, failure to report a conflict of interest to an ongoing relationship with the mayor, and creating the appearance of impropriety, as well as violations relating to payroll and overtime that he claimed that he worked when he was actually not working it. So these reports were made public earlier this week. And it was interesting in that some of the information contained in these reports confirmed that we know that, for instance, when Officer Vappi was ultimately indicted, one of the counts of wire fraud included the pay period in which the photograph that we obtained of him dining on the balcony of Tableau with the mayor. That was one of them. In this petition, Officer Vappi had gone through a divorce, and the divorce filings by his now ex-wife cited instances of marital infidelity, that coincided with four of the dates that were included in Officer Abapi's federal indictment. So in this petition, a divorce petition, the wife is alleging that her former husband, Jeffrey Abapi, was involved in a romantic relationship with Mrs. L.C. And Mrs. L.C. appears to be Mrs. Latoya Cantrell. So we see that Officer Abapi was indicted for some of his misconduct when he billed the city for performing his official duties when, in fact, he was wining and dining the mayor. So on April the 7th, because of this investigation, the police department, more particularly Precious Banks, the captain in charge of public integrity, before this case was referred to a private law firm to conduct the investigation because the police department didn't want to be perceived as a conflict of interest, but Captain Banks went and secured evidence from Tableau Restaurant. The video evidence from the in-house camera system at Tableau captured the fact that the mayor arrived with Officer Abapi and were seated on the balcony. There's video evidence of them ordering mimosas and toasting each other at this event while he's on duty. In fact, he's being paid overtime for some of the duty that he performed on that particular day. The video evidence assembled by the police department and PIB also captures him removing his coat and putting it on the chair. And as he takes his coat off, his firearm is apparent. So now they've got him drinking with his firearm while he's on duty. And then there's also video evidence when the bill arrives, he reaches into his pocket and pays for the bill. So the bill was also recovered. And not only were mimosas ordered, but wine, a bottle of wine was ordered as well. And they have video of the waiter pouring the wine into the mayor's glass and his glass and all of this. So all of this is the officer, after he had been admonished and told that, A, you have a duty to disclose if you're involved in a personal relationship with the mayor, because that's a conflict of interest. When he was questioned about that during the Pontable investigation, he termed his relationship with the mayor purely professional. Now we're seeing that, you know, in this petition, the divorce petition, his former wife was alleging that he was involved in an extramarital affair that goes back to 2021 with Mrs. L.C. So what we're seeing now is, you know, the missing pieces of the puzzle that we weren't aware of. We know that the Crime Commission filed the complaint on April the 12th. He was administratively reassigned April the 22nd. PIB Captain Precious Banks ordered him to maintain and turn over statements and preserve other records and evidence, and he didn't comply with any of that. He announced his retirement on June the 29th, and after he announced his retirement, he had his attorney contact the police department saying, is the investigation now dead because I'm no longer there? Under departmental rules, the investigation continues if it was started before he left. So because this investigation was completed, we now know that part of the reason that I believe that he retired is because he didn't want to answer these questions. He couldn't answer these questions. And if he answered those questions, not only would that probably justify the 13 sustained violations, but if he was still there based on his prior history, based on the 13 sustained violations that were found in this report, that he probably would have been terminated. He didn't want that on his record because he knew he was under federal investigation. And he was ultimately indicted about 2 weeks or 20 days after he retired from the police department on July the 19th. And now we know why he left the department when he left the department, because he knew his indictment was coming. He knew he had been caught. He knew that there was video evidence of all of this. And we now may see, some additional information that was provided to the feds. In fact, in this investigative report, the investigator with a private law firm that documented this made a referral to the United States Attorney's Office of violations that investigator believes could be criminal. So this is, the next shoe to drop in this saga. I don't think that it's over by any stretch of the imagination, but now we have some context and now can understand, maybe some of the things that we didn't initially understand. Why if Officer Bappy, and he stated publicly after his first appearance in court that he was looking forward to, exonerating himself and improving and preserving his good name. Well, if he believed that, why did he resign from the police department when he did? He could have stayed there and exonerated himself if he had evidence, but he didn't. And I suspect that he didn't remain because he realized that the evidence was overwhelming against him. So we'll see how all this plays out going forward.
Interesting as well, Captain Banks requested of the city attorney's office documents and actually went to their online portal to put in a public records request for documents. The city attorney responded to recall that and make the request in another way. So Captain Banks did so, and then for the most part, the city attorneys provided very little. In fact, they provided a limited number of calendar entries and emails on a certain date, though many of the ones that were actually provided for were devoid of a date and didn't get what they were looking for, meaning documents or anything else. So they just simply, for the most part, ignored it. Had they left it in the public record purview, there could be sanctions for not doing it. The moment you removed it from that and made a non-public record request to the city attorney, all those sanctions went away. Lesson learned, I guess.
Well, so that wasn't Captain Banks that made that request. That was actually the attorney with the private law firm that was hired. They had been engaged by that time, and they made that request. And you're talking about the fact that the city attorney's office was supposed to be cooperating with this investigation. Yeah. This investigation, in my opinion, should have been conducted by the inspector general. But for whatever reason, the decision was made to hire the private law firm to do this. And the law firm is now documenting the lack of cooperation from the city attorney's office, and they also documented the fact that they requested that the mayor make a statement and explain what occurred, and the mayor refused to cooperate. So did the mayor's lack of cooperation influence the city attorney's office in failing to cooperate and provide the evidence that the investigator, the private law firm, was looking to document violations or potential violations of departmental policy? So that should come as no surprise to anybody, because when the NOPD conducted the Pontable investigation, they requested that the mayor make a statement to them, and she refused to do so. So this is just a continuation of her trying to stonewall the investigations that were being conducted against someone that is now allegedly her boyfriend and was involved in a relationship while he was married, while she was married. And, her boyfriend now is under indictment for wire fraud. Remains to be seen when she'll be indicted, but I don't think it's a question of if, it's when she'll be indicted, because Randy Farrell was indicted for bribing public official one. You don't indict someone for bribery if you
Let me interrupt you. I apologize. I got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, there's been an update on NOPD promotions. Tell us about it.
Well, so what's, what happened was the mayor expressed concerns that there was some bias with respect to the final list of captains eligible for promotion to major. And the superintendent has been working behind the scenes to try and alleviate the mayor's concerns of bias. So what the chief has proposed is that she will replace the deputy chiefs that ranked the annual performance evaluations of officers, their PIB files and their work history. She'll replace those deputy chiefs with outsiders that won't have any knowledge of who the applicants are for the majors, and they will score those individuals. That'll be 50% of the score. But the whole issue about bias, in looking at this, we just talked about the BAPI report, that the two top-ranked individuals eligible to be promoted to major were the two former heads of PIB, Precious Banks and Kendrick Allen. So the mayor didn't express any concerns about bias until she saw the final promotions list. Those were the two people that documented the wrongdoing of her and Officer Vappy and all of this. So was the bias on the part of the promotion process, or was the bias on the part of the mayor? We're going to find out, because the Inspector General's office is now going to be investigating the allegations of cheating and bias in this. But in the meantime, the officers that are eligible for promotion are waiting for this process to be cleared so that they can move forward with these promotions. It's been 34 years since anyone was promoted to the rank of major in the city. The city spent $100,000 on this test. But it's being held up, again, because of the mayor's political meddling in the police department. And it appears to me, from where I sit, it's a retaliatory move on her part to try and punish the people that were responsible for documenting the wrongdoing of Officer Vappy and her involvement in those investigations.
Yeah, it seems somewhat evident to me as well. As always, Rafi Goyeneche, we truly appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot's headed your way. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we will talk about the astonishing appointment of Matt Gaetz to the position of Attorney General of the United States. I'm glad I'm not the only one who was shocked. That sent shockwaves even through the Republican Party, so we'll talk about that. And I found some interesting buffer music to go along with that. Also, just an incredible day. You know, we live for this time of year. We live for this kind of weather, and it is here for the next couple of days. So we'll talk about all of that. And we've got some. We're going to kind of start to phase away from some of the hardcore politics. So we'll have a lot of fun this afternoon.
Scoot's headed your way, folks. Hope you enjoyed today's show, and we will see you guys in the morning. Have a great Thursday evening. This is Newell on WWL.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.